It was such a delight to hear and see everyone visiting like this. It's a wonderful church family God is putting together, and we're enjoying this a great deal, and I hope you are too. We will go ahead and sing Bow the Knee as we begin, a song of worship, of course, and then we'll open in prayer. Joshua, would you please lead us in number 13, Bow the Knee.
Privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, seated him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee. In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke and all things came to be. Yet he hears his simple prayer I bring before him, when I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
On Sunday for an hour, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that we come before him humbly and bow the knee. That is an act of worship. Actually, the Old Testament meaning of the word worship was to prostrate oneself face down before the Holy God. That is what worship means, and we ought to do that throughout the week. Let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the one who is worthy of all our worship as the one holy, righteous creator of all things and the one who sustains all things for your honor and glory, for the good purpose of your will. Father God, I also thank you that you have provided for us what could not be provided in any other way through the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world as God and took on the body of a man, that he might be the sacrifice for our sins that we could not in any other way accomplish. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that through faith in Jesus Christ's shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf, any one of us, anyone can be saved, can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, that if there's someone here today that needs to make that decision, that they would seek me out, or my wife, or our evangelist, Monty, and his wife, Janine, and Father, that we would have the opportunity to answer any questions that they may have. And Father God, in all of this service, we ask you that you would be the one who truly is worshiped. May we come before you recognizing that you are worthy, the only one that is worthy of our worship. As we give in the offering, as we share in music and song and fellowship together and the opening of the scriptures, oh Lord God, I ask that all of it would be from us to you, an act of worship. Lord, I ask you that you would guide Monty as he speaks and preaches, that your word would go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you again for the grace that you give us, and I pray that we would never take it for granted, that you have given to us so much that we don't deserve, but also that we can share your grace with those around us. May we do that in this hour together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Number 239, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, root hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone my hope is found, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God is satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. In the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in a glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
I'd like to ask everyone to stand and take up your Bibles and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for our scripture reading. Please follow along as Tom reads verses 3 through 11 for us. 1 Corinthians 15:3-11.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then all of the apostles. And last he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believe. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing as we sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus, number 127.
Sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame, my sin and shame. Magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name.
Amen. You may be seated. I am sure glad that I can sing the bass part. Not well, but I can sing the bass part. And praise the Lord for all of you who can reach first soprano. That's beautiful. And I really appreciate that. In introducing our speaker today, I thought about calling him St. Monty because it's St. Patrick's Day, and I don't know how many of you are wearing green or whatever. I don't really notice that standing out. No, we're not a superstitious lot. Was St. Patrick really one of God's saints? Well, that's a question. God's saints, according to the Apostle Paul and Peter, have to be someone who's received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, or born again. And anyone and everyone who has done that is a saint. So I can actually say, today our preacher is St. Monty. I can do that. And I'm looking forward to the time with him before us opening the scriptures and preaching. I don't have a lot of introduction. Many of you met him Friday night or this morning during Sunday school, and that is great. He did bring a good message about having no regrets on Friday evening, and that is something that none of us want you to have, is an eternal regret that you neglected that one decision you need to make. Now, I realize we have regrets in other areas, but don't allow an eternal regret to be part of your future. So, having said that, I also know that he has preached in a variety of settings, and Janine is his helpmeet, the one that supports him and helps him. As my dear wife says, I wash Matt's socks. I'm sure Janine does much more than that for Monty, and my wife does much more than that for me, too. It's just a joke between us and some others. Anyway, I'm glad to have them with us, and I trust that God uses the ministry of the Word through a different mouthpiece, not only here, but in a lot of other settings, from camps and Bible conferences, as he mentioned in our Sunday school hour, to evangelistic meetings and big game banquets even, okay? One time, years ago, well, I guess I would say this. Our very first big game banquet for Valley Baptist Church was in the fall of 2007. Yeah, the fall of 2007. And if I remember right, you were our first big game banquet speaker. And when Valley Baptist Church organized as a local church, a New Testament church, we started supporting missionaries, and they were our first supported missionaries. And we're pleased to be able to do that every month, help them with their travels and ministry from Alaska to South Africa, as I said on Friday night. Monty knows every joke that has ever, well, every good, wholesome, good joke that has ever been contrived by man. If you think you can stump him with a good joke, if he doesn't know the punchline, I'll give you $5, okay? Monty does have a sense of humor. I trust that that shows up as well. But more importantly, the serious matter before us in regard to the grace of God. God is gracious with all of us. Monty, you come, open the Bible, and preach what the Holy Spirit leads you to preach, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, church family, for continuing to care about us and pray for us and to also support us on a regular basis, and it's been a blessing. God's been so good to us, and we just praise the Lord for that. And I do use that because when I was growing up, I was a lousy shot. You had to come up with something when the game started trotting over the hill. And don't you ever come back was the best thing I could ever come up with. We found out why, because I was using my dad's gun. I bought a gun when I went out on my own, and I sighted it in, and I was hitting everything within about that big at 100 yards, and I said, Dad, here, try it. He tried it. He didn't even hit the target. We shoot that much different, and I didn't realize that was a thing until then. And after that, that reputation of me being a lousy shot went away. I shot an elk at about 500 yards with a .308 Winchester. I aimed way above it, and I got down right at the very bottom of it, and it stayed, and I ran up the hill, and I got within 150 yards, put one through the heart and lungs, and was able to get that all done and packed up on our horses and back to town by 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock that afternoon. I took a guy that was there with me. He was brand new to the area from Michigan, and he went with me, and we started on the trailhead at 6 o'clock in the morning. Went up in the mountains there in a place where nobody goes. They're not really a good trail. That's kind of places we like to hunt back then in those days. And saw that elk, laid down, prone position, took a shot, and it stayed right there. So I thought I hit it. I didn't hit it hard. I knew that. But I went up and was able to get a close shot. And then by noon, we were ready to pack out. I already had it quartered, and we had lunch, and went to town, and we're back to town by 3 o'clock. Had it all hung and everything. And this guy, that was his first trip in the mountains and hunting in the West. My friends came to me later and said, "You ruined him." I said, "What? What do you mean I ruined him? I just took him out. We went hunting, got an elk." They said, "Yeah, if we don't get an elk within just a few hours," he says, "you got to go with Level. He knows how to get elk." And I thought, no, that's not norm. I had to go back and explain. This is not normal that we do it that way. It just happened that day. The Lord put an elk right there for me. And a nice big 5-point, which was great eating. That's what we did, is ate meat like that. It's a joy to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Thank you, church family. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. I have, over my lifetime, done a lot of study on the word grace and the effects of grace. Because there's a definition that's fairly common out there, and it is God's unmerited favor towards us. Something we don't deserve, He gives. And mercy is something we deserve, He doesn't give. Like His mercy is to us, when we deserve punishment, we deserve the wrath of God, He doesn't give that. That's His mercy to us. But now that we're saved by grace. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved by God's divine favor to you, enabling you. And so I've come up with a definition, and I've heard it in other places also, of divine enablement for grace. It is God giving us the ability to have a relationship with Him. It is God giving us the ability to have forgiveness of sins. It's God giving us the ability to walk with Him. And Paul says in this passage, in verse 10, a simple phrase that should impact every one of us. I know it does me, because I realize I'm not somebody special or anything like that, because I've figured things out. I have great ability playing basketball or something else that I did in my lifetime. I didn't figure it all out. I didn't figure out how to have a good wife and a good marriage, but God gave me that. I have a wonderful wife. I thank God for her. This year's our 50th anniversary in August, and we're planning some events all year. We went out for an anniversary dinner already this year. Yeah, to a place we wouldn't go if it weren't for a 50th anniversary. So it was really nice. And so I'm planning events all year. I've already bought her flowers. I've already done different things. And so we're going to continue through the whole year, right? It's an anniversary year, 50 years. That's a year of jubilee, right? I don't know exactly what it is, but that may be it, I think. And so we're just going to have fun. We've been having fun for 49 years. We can expect it'll happen in 50 years too. And so it's been great. But God's grace has been given to me. But it's not just me. It's been given to every believer. And it's available for anybody who will come to Him. That's why in this passage, He starts out with the gospel. He starts out in verse 3, He says, "For I delivered unto you that first of all which also I received." How Christ died for our sins, not because we know that happened, but according to the Scriptures. This is what it says. according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, not because I saw him, as Paul could say, I saw him, but according to the scriptures, what is written. And that's for us today, too. We believe the promises of God because God promised. And if we by faith trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, by grace, by the avenue of faith, us trusting Christ, he promises eternal life. He promises us the forgiveness of sins. Something that we can't do for ourselves. Because if we could, then salvation would be of our works. But it's not our work. God had to do it for us. It's something we could not do ourselves. So God gives us the ability to be saved. He sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, paying the price, completing the payment. It's all finished. There's no other need for salvation or anything else to be done in order to get saved, to be saved. Jesus did it all. We simply trust by faith in Christ, what he's already done. He paid the price for my sin, your sin. By his grace, he enables us to now be saved, to be passed from being dead, condemned in our sins and trespasses, to being alive in Christ. There's no condemnation anymore, and now we can walk and experience a relationship with God. We couldn't do that before. We could try, and there's a lot of people that try in various ways. But God's grace is necessary for us to have a relationship with him. He enables us to have that relationship. That's what God does. Praise God for his grace. And that's what he's putting in this passage, because he talks about who saw Jesus after he was resurrected. Somebody said and went through this passage and studied it out and did it from the idea of a forensic or a criminal investigation, a detective type investigation, and said there is more proof here of the resurrection of Jesus Christ than most things that we see in history. And it's incredible, because how many people saw him? And many of those people at one time saw him, and many of those are still alive, and they could have just jumped up and said, "No, we didn't." They didn't say that. And there's no record of any of that, because they said they did. Because he did rise from the dead. And so that's what he's talking about in this chapter. But then he puts this little thing about himself. He said, and last of all, in verse 8, he was seen of me also. I had the privilege of seeing him. Then he says, as one born out of due time. It happened after Jesus ascended, and it was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And for sake of time, we won't read it, but that's the passage he's talking about. That's where he's met Jesus on the road. And Jesus said, "How come do you keep kicking against the pricks, the goads that I'm pushing you around, trying to lead you on into a relationship with me?" And he, at that point, understood he was persecuting the church, and he understood that that was wrong, and I needed to be saved, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. He went from being a persecutor to a believer, and now he was persecuted. What a situation. But God gave him his grace and the ability to see. And as he was born out of due time, verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles." This is how he looked at himself. I don't deserve this. I don't know about you, but I look at me the same way. I don't deserve what God's done for me. I don't. I'm just a dumb kid that grew up in Cody, Wyoming. And I proved that I was dumb by some of the dumb stuff I did. And we all had that in our past in some ways. We may not have been as bad as we could have been, but we were all as bad off as we could be. We were lost without a Savior. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were accountable before a holy God who had His judgment on our lives. And I remember trusting Christ as my Savior one day. And I remember the change that God brought into my life. And I'll tell you what, God has kept me from me so many times. We got married when we were 19. I know Janine does not look like she could have been married 50 years. But that's what happens when you marry somebody who's 12. But no, I'm just kidding. We were 19 when we got married. I did not know much. I grew up in a family that had three boys. I was the oldest. My parents adopted my sister when I was 12. I was on my own by the time I was 16, so I, because of a family situation that was necessary for me to maintain a place in Cody while Mom moved to Montana to finish her schooling, and Dad would come down and work in Cody for 4 days a week and just sleep there 3 days. He worked 4/12s at that time. And so that's all I saw of family, period. From 16 for a while. I lived in an 8x12 trailer. And you say, do you still like that? No, I sleep in a tent now a lot. That's still nice to be in a small confined area. It's a lot less cleaning. You know, really, think about it. I mean, but because of those circumstances, I was ready to get married. I went to college, met Janine, and she was ready to get married, and we got married. I didn't know how to pick a good wife. I had some ideas of what I kind of wanted. I asked God to give me a good wife. You know what? This dumb kid was graced by God with a wonderful wife. By God's grace, I am who I am, he says. I don't deserve from God. None of us do. But God gives grace. He's good. And He gives grace to us. And that's why He says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm a Christian on my way to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. No one can take away from me the salvation that God has given because He gave it. And He's greater than anybody, anything, and He keeps His promises. And I trusted Him. And I still trust Him. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, His promises are true. And the Scriptures verify it. And this is the neat thing about God. I've been a student of the Word for many, many years. And I've had the privilege of being in ministry over 40 years now. Pastor for 11, and then this field since 94, traveling. And I've studied and had the opportunity to talk with people, a lot of different spiritual leaders around the country and different places and other parts of the world. And it's just been so neat to have all that time to spend in the Word. And God proves Himself. I mean, this Bible is incredible. It is absolutely incredible how God put it together. You can deny it if you want. But if you are a serious student, and I have children that are academia, their intellects. I have grandchildren that got, my oldest grandson got a full-ride scholarship, academic scholarship to Boise State. I mean, and then my next grandson went to Arizona State in honors college at Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. I mean, these kids are academic. My youngest son is the 4.0 type kid. He graduated with highest honors and his bachelor's and master's, and my children have master's. And I mean, they're just intellectual. And Janine and I are sitting here and going, Where'd they get that? It's by the grace of God. Yeah, by the grace of God. But they've challenged me. Challenge you. Is this stuff real? You know what? Those academic children are so rock solid because of truth of the Word of God and the evidence in the world around us and the things that they see and understand. And my son Peter reads 150 books a year. And it's not just easy books. Right now he's finishing a book on Hitler. He's read Mein Kampf. He's read all Marx's books. And I mean, he's read all sorts of books. He's read on covenant theology. He's read on regular dispensational. I mean, he knows why he is what he is, because he's able to study and see it. And I'll guarantee you this, if you study this book, and the more you study this book, you'll go, this is true. This is absolutely right. And you can see it evidenced in the world. You know where Greek thought came from? I'm just making a speculation, but I know where Homer was near contemporary with Solomon. And Solomon was known for his wisdom around the world. And then all of a sudden, you have Homer, you have Socrates, you have Plato, you have, and then what are they looking for? This great knowledge comes from God. It comes from God. Peter's read the work, complete works of Plato a couple times, and he said, Dad, where he was right according to the scriptures, he was right, but where he's off, he's off. Because he puts too much on man and not enough on God. And you and I can do that. We can place it on ourselves. And we can say, I'm the authority. I'm the one that makes these decisions. We can't. God knows how he put things together. And he knows how to build a marriage. He knows how to build lives. He knows how to build people. And God does that. That's what God does. Now, if we want to rebel against that, we can. And can you build a life without God? Yes, you can. The wise man and the foolish man both built houses. But when the test of time and eternity comes, the house that's not built on Jesus Christ will not stand. That's why we as believers, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can stand up with confidence and say, my house is built on the solid rock, and nobody can take this salvation from me. I have the forgiveness of sins, and it's not because I figured it all out. It's because I trust God as my Savior. He's the one that promised this to me. And I believed on Him. He died for my sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. And nothing in this life, nothing in eternity, can take that away from us when we know Jesus as our Savior. I love that. So I love standing and saying, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He has enabled salvation for mankind. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can make that same statement, by the grace of God, this is who I am. Nobody's going to change it. Nobody can mess it up. You can't even mess it up. Because He's promised to keep us. We're secure in Him. If I could mess it up, I would. Wouldn't you? But we can't. We can't. He did it all. But He goes on and He says further than that, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It wasn't a waste. What does He say? I labored. I followed after my God. I did what he wanted to do in my life and through my life. I experienced everything he had to the fullest. You read Philippians 3 and you'll find in Philippians 3 that God has given Paul this desire. I want to experience everything God has for me in this life. That's his drive. God's apprehended us. He saved us for a reason. I want to experience it all. And you know what stops me from it? Me going my direction. Me doing what I want to do. And I find that God gives an incredible life when you follow him. Is it all a bed of roses? No, not necessarily. But God's always there. And his peace is always there. And his joy is always there. And his comfort is there. And his grace is always there, enabling me to go through whatever he sets before me, both good and bad. We live in a sin-sick world. There are people that do things against us. I don't know if you've ever had somebody steal something of yours. I went touring when I got out of high school. I got on my bicycle and took off from Cody and went through Yellowstone and went into Idaho to visit my grandparents. And always wanted to do something like that. I'm an adventurer and stuff in a lot of ways. And it's different than a horse. You don't have to put your bicycle out for grazing every night, you know. But I took my bicycle and did that. I got off one time in Yellowstone and I stopped, you know, to go into the woods for a minute. And we had just a little skiff to snow that night. And when I was at Fishing Bridge, and I took off and got outside a canyon a ways and got off my bike, walked into the woods, and you know, I never thought about it until I saw it. There's fresh grizzly tracks in that snow, and I thought, I'm on a bicycle in Yellowstone Park. I'm grizzly bait on two wheels. And we had grizzlies in our camps. I wasn't afraid of grizzlies, but I didn't want to run into one, that's for sure. But on a bicycle. But anyway, it's one of those things when you're out there doing stuff like that. I want to experience all God has. He's given us the opportunity to have life and life more abundant. I am not going to find that in the world's and the world's ways. I will find that as I walk with my Savior. And it's been amazing the life he's given. The opportunities, the things that he's allowed me to do. Janine and I have experienced incredible things in our lifetime. And we're looking forward to what's left. I mean, we're getting up there in years. So we hope to be Paul Harvey's couple of the day, but Paul Harvey passed away. Some of you would remember he had a couple a day and would say, there's 60-some years today or 72 years. And we wanted to be that. You know, getting married when you're 19, you could get there if we can make it that far. But Paul Harvey passed away, and that's not going on anymore, so we won't make it. But you know, what does God have for you in the future? I don't know, but I know God. And I know it's going to be good. And I know his grace will enable you to do whatever he sets before you, to go through whatever he sets before you. And the challenges that you might want, that he has for you to do, some labors that he might have for you. Maybe there's some things that he has special for you to minister to other people or to be a help to others around you, and things that God enables you to do. I mean, God will give you everything you need to do that. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And by the grace of God, his enablement, we do what we do. We live this life. We follow him. We trust him. We walk with him. We want him to work in us and through us for his glory. Paul says, I want to apprehend everything that God saved me to experience. That's a great attitude to have. I don't want to miss out on anything that God may have for me. Have I? I'm sure I have. But have I experienced some of those great, wonderful things that he's put before me? Absolutely. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. What an honor he has bestowed on you and me if you know Christ as your Savior. talking to a guy in prison when I was doing prison ministry years ago. And he said, you know, I gave God a try. I said, you did? How long did you do that? And he told me, 6 months. I said, how old are you? He said, 37. I said, you gave God 6 months. You took 36 and a half. How you doing with what you're doing with those 36 and a half years? I mean, we're talking in prison here. I don't think God put you here. All of a sudden, light bulb came on. I said, why don't you give God the next 36 and a half years and see what He builds? See what He'll do with your life. I can guarantee you this, you will not be disappointed. There'll be joy, there'll be peace, and you'll look back and say, it was worth it all to give my all to Jesus Christ. Now that I'm saved, I give Him my life, everything. I'm going to walk with You, God, and experience all You have. The first step, if you're not saved, you need to be saved, to have that personal, intimate relationship with Him. And then once you are saved, now you can experience the life that only God can give. That's why He says, by the grace of God, I do what I do. And I labored more abundantly than they all. Yeah, He did. Paul did. And you don't have to say, I labored more abundantly, because it's not a comparison for us to say, I'm doing more than they are. That's not very gracious. That's not of God. No, you do what God sets in front of you. And you do it for His glory. And He has a reason for your life. He has a reason for your salvation. And He has a purpose for every day He keeps you here on this earth. That's the confidence and the relationship we have in Christ. I love it. I love it. I'm not giving it up. So, therefore, whether it's me or somebody else, we preach. We share the message of the gospel. We share that Jesus Christ saves souls. And by His grace, you can have a relationship with Him. And by His grace, you can walk and experience life and life more abundant the way Jesus intends for us as we know Him. Whether I preach or somebody else, that's the message that's been preached for hundreds of years. Why? Because it's truth. That's the message that's changed lives that you cannot deny. Because it's true. It's the reality. You can reject it if you want. That's your choice. But you do make a choice. You do make a choice for what you do with the truth. Everybody does. God is so good, He gave mankind that ability to make that choice. And He gives the opportunity for people to choose. I had a guy, he was 83 years old, and he said, you were talking about me on the radio today. And I said, no, I wasn't talking about you, because I never pick anybody out. And he said, no, but you were talking about me. And I said, no. And it finally dawned on me. God was working in his heart. And I said, well, sir, I'd like to talk with you about it if you want to talk. And he said, nope, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I said to him, I said, sir, I have a little different saying than that. In my book, you can't teach a dead dog any tricks. That's when it's too late. But while you're still taking breath, there's still an opportunity to be saved. Now is the day. Now is the time. That's God's work. That's what God's doing. And God will work in your heart, and you in your own heart will know, this is right, this is true. God will show you that. He does that because you either accept what He says here or you reject it. Simple. Very simple. Don't make it more complex than it is. If you don't know Christ, You need to know Him. You need to trust Him as your personal Savior. And if you do, stand up and say, I'm, by the grace of God, me. This is who I am. He saved me. I'm His child. I'm on my way to heaven, and nobody can take it away. No, never mind. It's true. That's what God does. We have that confidence. I'm His, and He is mine. Now, I can experience life the way He intends. By His grace, He enables me for every step of the way. Go forth in confidence, not in ourselves, but in our God and His grace. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank You for the time together this morning. Thank You for Your grace to us. What a privilege it is to be Yours. And Lord, what a joy it is. Thank You for life and life more abundant. Lord, I know in my own life there's times when I've not walked with You the way I should. I've missed something, and Lord, You bring me right back. I'm thankful for that. But Lord, I pray for people here that don't know You. They don't know what it is to have a relationship with You, to walk with You and experience life as only You can give. They're still under Your condemnation because of their sin. But Lord, You sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Thank You for that salvation through our wonderful Savior. Lord, work in each heart. You know the need of each of us. You know where we need encouragement. You know where we need strength from You, our God. And Lord, You are the source of our strength, our grace, Your enablement. You give it all to us. Thank You for the grace we have because of You. By Your grace, we are who we are. And by Your grace, we live and experience that life that only You can give. To You be the glory. Anyone here unsaved, Lord, I pray You would work in their hearts. Give them the courage to examine, to see truth for what it is. Draw them to Yourself as only You can, God. And may they come to an understanding and a decision where they trust Christ as their Savior. Lord, if there's questions, give them the courage to talk with somebody. Maybe they just want to see it for themselves through the Word and take the time and do that. Lord, what a joy it would be to share what You say in Your Word. Lord, I pray for each person here and the needs that are represented. You know what they are. I don't know, Lord. You're God, not me. You know what's going on in each of our lives. Thank You, Lord, that Your grace is sufficient. That You're the God of all grace. And we can trust You. Thank You, God. And we give You the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
I don't know the hearts of everyone here. You may not know your heart fully either, but there may be some who are here that are troubled in the soul. There isn't a confidence that once you pass from this life, you'll be in the presence of the Lord. You don't have that assurance. You haven't made sure that that grace that Monty just spoke of out of the Word of God is yours personally. You need to make sure of that. We want you to make sure of that. It's the most important decision anyone can ever make. Monty and Janine will be available. I'd like to ask them after we pray to stand by the books here, and they can explain the books. They've brought some books that Monty's written, some that their son Peter has written, and they're available to you also. It is only by God's grace that we can have our sin forgiven. If you're not sure that your sins are forgiven and heaven is your home, you make sure today. Talk with Monty or me. Open your songbooks to 122 as we close. Grace greater than our sin. 122. We'll go ahead and sing all three verses of this. You may stand as we sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin. But before we're dismissed, I'll close in prayer.
marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today.
Father, I ask you that every one of us would make sure that we've received that grace that is bestowed from you to forgive our sin, and that we would be able to walk forward in life with that confidence, and that we, by your grace, will even do what we do, as well as be who you have created. Father, I ask you too that you would bless throughout the afternoon and bring us all back together again this evening to continue with the subject of your glorious grace. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.